All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, I have taken several games and I put them in these fireproof safes and I put them, scattered them throughout this mansion, which we are going to torch.
Oh, I want that so bad.
I know.
Yeah.
Everyone talks about those destruction houses.
Mm-hmm.
But torch house?
Torch house?
Responsible. You know,
I've talked about this. I've at the very least joked about it on Twitter. But like, if you could pay the city, like, all right, you're about to demolish this this condemned property or whatever. Like, if mm-hmm. it would hurt nobody else, can I just set it on fire? I will pay you for just. But there's a thing in me. It's not criminal, but I need to set it on fire. I just have to.
I think that they should encourage this because it's you not setting other things on fire. You know, it's like you're a fire break. Like they call those fire breaks and they do it to wrangle errant coals from doing actual arson.
they just leave a trail of small burnable things that will just
like it starts out Monopoly buildings and then like slowly become dollhouses and eventually leads to like that Popeyes that closed down.
Yeah, of course. Just oh man, can you imagine how quickly a Popeyes would burn?
It would smell good too. like the whole downtown would smell delicious. Cajun arson. So I'm gonna let you live your dream and burn this down, and then we're gonna sift through the ashes and see what game we find in one of these fireproof safes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the best place to start a fire in something like this, at least the most satisfying, start at the roof and let it burn down. Okay. Yeah. So I'm just gonna.
You don't want to see a collapse?
What's that?
No, if you start at the bottom when it collapses eventually on itself. That might be kind of
it'll collapse if you burn it from the top. In fact, it'll collapse better because the stuff that collapses and falls at the top will be more compromised by the fire that is spread down along the drywall and carpet and stuff.
You thought of this. I'll just let you take the lead.
No, if you just burn the basement,
you're the arsonist.
Allegedly. Yeah. All right. So I'm just going to run in, light this on fire, okay. And then run back out. Okay. So I'll be right back. All right. Okay, cool. All right. It's lit. I lit like five different fires in the attic. Look at it go. Yeah.
It's hot. It's surprisingly unpleasant.
It is really hot. Oh man. Sorry. One
fire
second.
Is hot.
Let me adjust myself here. One moment. Okay. Yeah. All right.
The, here come the dorks in red. Here come these nerds.
Fortunately, I every time I pull up to a house, I block the access road behind me. It's going to take them a little while to get past that.
I parked in front of the hydrant as well.
You know, they're just going to bust out your windows, right?
Yeah, but it'll take them some time.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and my car is protected by vipers. So,
I don't think a Dodge Viper comes with the vipers.
I had to buy the vipers separately and train them.
I think you're thinking of wipers. It comes with windshield wipers.
Oh, okay, like that scary stories to tell in the dark.
Yes.
Thing with the viper. So the fucking nerd patrol won't get here in time.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. I can tell.
Collapse.
Yeah. That's the good stuff. Okay.
All right. Hey, dorks. Did you put out the smoldering wreckage so we can do this randomization?
We probably should have thought of that.
My tax dollars pay for you, dorks. Fucking nerds.
You made sure the house is empty, right? Because I saw a whole bunch of like kids' toys on the floor when I ran in there.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Okay.
All right. Okay. Volunteer my dick. Put out the smoldering wreckage.
Okay. Okay. All right. They're ringing back. Thank you, Silent Firemen. I understand the police are on their the police are on their way. Okay. Open this up, Gary.
Okay. Oh, it's Galarian's ash.
Oh, Galarian's. That's. I mean, it's an oak. Oh wait, you said Galarian's ash. Oh no.
Yeah. It's Ooh, doggy.
Woof.
Mm-hmm.
we'll podcast about it from jail. This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games. You don't have to.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Remember the old standbys. This week, this one's for the public, Gary. We're talking about Galarian's Ash. This was a patron demand by Jesse, who says, I tried this game when I was about 14, and oh boy, I had no idea what the fuck was happening. I honestly thought this was a fever dream. This
fucking incomprehensible is what it is. It makes no sense. It's all classics of game. Like the first 10 minutes of this could all be classics of game clips.
Yep. If it was not in the nature of that creator to, you know, upload only brief clips, then yes, this would very much be classics of game. You do end up fighting a room that has tits.
Yeah.
In the first half hour of the game, which is fun. Go ahead.
And the enemy is actionably Genova.
Oh yeah.
It's just Genova. Like, she's recently eaten an eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Genova.
It's Genova. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dorothy you're referring to.
Dorothy.
The architect of the Galarians program. Yeah.
Yeah. This begins with a recap of Galarians 1 that makes Galarians 1 sound really stupid.
Right.
Like, I understand, you know, I think this is something you have some affection for. And I haven't played it since, I think I poked at Galarians 1 when it first came out, but don't have a lot of strong memories of it.
Mm-hmm.
But to fight this AI, to fight Genova, they stuck two halves of their weapons. They downloaded them into the brains of children.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to downloading them into the brains of USB drives or something that you might stick into a computer, you know?
Oh, like, but where's the drama in that? Where's the fun?
Got to put it into a son and a daughter.
Can I get something in a data son?
In a USB,
uh-huh.
You know, daughter,
yeah.
Like a thumb daughter.
I had a lot more affection for the original Galarians a while back, like it pretty much concurrently when it came out, because it mm-hmm. had a really good demo that won me over, and I think I rented it and I was like, oh yeah, this is like a different kind of Resident Evil. You know, you're not using weapons, you're using psychic powers. It's kind of neat how if you overuse them, everybody's heads start exploding, but you start taking damage until you find the right dose of medicine to fix mm-hmm. yourself. Like, neat stuff, right? And then I went and streamed it a few years back now, probably like 5 years, fuck. It was real disappointing because I realized all that stuff that I thought was really cool about it was actually just very heavily cribbed from Akira. And also, like, the play is stupidly uneven. There's one particular hallway in the hotel level that gave me fits. It took me a whole streaming session to get past it. This was before I decided that it's actually not worth my time or anybody's time to watch me play something I dislike. You know?
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, no, I could, there's nothing tying me to this. Just later. Bye. That's data. But yeah, a lot of the shine came off of it. While still, you know, I enjoy it for what it is, which is an incredibly rare creature, the 32-bit, you know, pre-rendered background. I forget if it's pre-rendered, but you know, the classic survival horror style, right?
Yeah. The second one is not pre-rendered. The second one is big anonymous cube spaces.
Yes.
This came out around the same time as PsyOps.
Okay.
And I was a PsyOps kid.
Yes.
So like there were two psychic dude games and that was the one I picked.
PsyOps is undoubtedly the better option.
It was a pretty fun game up until the end.
Like, yeah.
Pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got older and got less interested in, these specific anime storytelling tropes.
Right.
I got further and further away from Galarians.
Yeah. The sequel is also a real big change. The original is very slow. It felt more like an older Resident Evil, you know, you were like fighting, you know, scientists who have been driven crazy and nobody's really moving that fast. And your powers take a little bit of time to like charge up and deploy. Here, mm-hmm. that's still the case. You're still charging and deploying, you know, your different attacks. However, the enemies, everything is paced much more like an action game, but your character's abilities have not been upgraded commensurately. Aside from the ability to like shield yourself a little bit. So this is specifically like really, really, you know, from a mechanical standpoint, much worse than the original, even though the original would feel antiquated today.
It kind of reminded me of being in the same coterie as like maybe Parasite Eve. And then the Parasite Eve sequel.
This feels a lot more like Parasite Eve 2. Than anything. In fact, they're really similar. Like both have a similar kind of auto targeting kind of deal. They're both a little bit more actiony.
Worse.
Right. Also, like Parasite Eve 2 is weirdly just incredibly long, which is probably why we're never going to do it on WAF, and probably why if I do it on Hex Crank, it'll be like one of those ones that I have to, you know, take a break in the middle of because I lose people if I stream the same game for too many weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll switch directly to the third birthday where your life system is how much clothes you get to keep on.
You don't have a life meter. You have a waifu meter.
Yeah. You have a wife meter. Happy life meter. Happy wife meter. Yeah. And that's a bad t-shirt. Wife meter or like wife potion.
Oh, I don't like the idea of a wife potion.
The idea of a wife potion either.
Yeah, file that under mind control amulets.
It sounds like a misguided Sims expansion.
Wife potion?
Like, yeah, in between like the werewolf and the alien expansion.
Uh-huh.
Throw in the wife potion that you can make as like a mad scientist.
That's
fucking wild.
That could get grim real quick.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That does not age very well. The one thing that seemed cool about Galarian's One, to me in the recap for it in Galarian's Ash, was the gallery of like shitty psychic kids.
Oh yeah. The titular Galarians.
The Fox Squad or whatever.
Those are fun. You do end up fighting some guy named Birdman outside of a decrepit mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they get their little intros in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're names and sometimes they're not. So it'll just be, you know, like, I wish I could remember them and I can't look them up now because I'm talking on a phone.
Yeah. Which
we haven't mentioned this recording session, but
right.
The, cause of Hell Move and Hell Month and COVID and all these things, my recording setup, internet's not quite up.
Yeah. You don't have, you don't have the normal setup. You're talking to me on Discord and recording your own end. And then I'm editing it together later. We are just praying that this comes together.
It'll have to.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I mean, it doesn't have to. It would be cool. That was me pressuring it.
Yes, which is never good. I just realized how like how similar the affection arc for Galarians went for me to Siphon Filter. So Galarians, it was real cool that you had your main character, the little kid, hold his hand out towards somebody and their head exploded after a certain amount, mm-hmm. and then in Siphon Filter you had the taser. Which was just hold it on somebody until they catch fire and die. And like
defective
that
taser.
the defective taser. I took the regulator off of this bad boy. It's technically a war crime.
I got that guy in shop class who makes big lighters shoot real far to make this taser special.
Oh man. He says he has a copy of the Anarchist Cookbook, but I don't believe him.
Yeah, it's real similar, like Siphon Filter energy, and mm-hmm. then a similar Siphon Filter arc. Like, I think there are like four Siphon Filters.
Oh, there are so many Siphon Filters. There were at least three on the PlayStation, and then they went to those. There were some on PS2, but I mostly associate with PSP. Like, they decided let's make Siphon Filter into a multiplayer third person shooter kind of deal.
Fucking bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a lot of affection for Siphon Filter 1, though.
Yeah?
I have no idea how misplaced that is.
It's pretty misplaced. But it's not very good.
When's the last time you lived La Vida Siphon Filter?
Probably back. I think I may have done like a replay of Siphon Filter 2 back when I was in high school, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, Siphon Filter. So the second trilogy. I'm gonna give you these subtitles, okay, just so you can appreciate it. Siphon Filter, The Omega Strain. Okay. Siphon Filter, Dark Mirror. Siphon Filter, Logan's Shadow.
This seems like you could do a game where you have to decide whether something is a Siphon Filter suffix or a Tom Clancy's those stealth games.
Yeah.
Why am I forgetting the name of those? Sam Fisher.
Splinter Cell.
Splinter Cell. They have the same suffixes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tell me that Dark Mirror, like, it couldn't be Splinter Cell Dark Mirror.
Oh, it absolutely could.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if those stand up too. I'm just at this point of like internet withdrawal, of wanting to like look at videos and stuff, and
you forgot that time exists, Gary.
I know time exists, but I'm just kind of like, huh? I haven't thought about Splinter Cell in a while.
Yeah,
are those good? You know,
I'd be curious if there's a way to do the Pandora Tomorrow. That's another one of those. But the Pandora Tomorrow or the Chaos Theory multiplayer, the asymmetric multiplayer where two people are mercenaries and two people are spies, that fucking ruled.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a cool idea.
Yeah,
I remember those being real cool.
Mm-hmm. It's
the
thing about them is they never quite got over the instant mission fail stealth stuff.
Yeah.
It was one of the only axes that they had for making something more difficult.
It's if I remember right, this is just us talking about video games. This isn't funny.
That's fine.
If I remember right, the way they mitigated that was by giving you like a million gadgets to see, like basically precog.
Yeah. Like
see what was around and everything, which I thought was a cool solution, if not for like, I don't want the instant death, but
yeah,
I think like empowering you really heavily while having like instant fail stealth is an interesting combo.
Yeah. You got like drones, things like that. You got the ability to do like a fiber optic camera through a keyhole, which was neat because mm-hmm. that has a real limited POV. And I think by the time they got off of the original Xbox, they decided, fuck it, we're just gonna have the tech division because it's actually really hard to design levels around that kind of limited information
around the gadgets.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being in your office and you see a little fiber optic thing go through your keyhole, like, hello?
Well, I would
think, like, what would you do?
Well,
it's so scary.
I would say joyously, the game's afoot. And then I would grab my bug out bag and I would jump out the window like it was the Hudsucker Proxy.
Finally.
Yep. Here we go.
Come on, Rusty Shackleford. Let's do it. And then just immediately take off.
Like, what if you get to the end of the movie, The Game, and it turns out that he was the person who hired them himself? It wasn't his socialite friends. He's got to the end and it's like, all right, guys, that was good. Oh, man. Yeah, that was a great.
No, we can charge a lot for that.
That was a great scenario. Try to come up with something a little bit harder for next year.
I'm just imagining like a fiber optic camera through the keyhole being a very cute little tube. It would be like a little bit like a garter snake trying to catch you naked.
You know? just a very shy garter snake. Like he's unafraid to make it known what he wants, you know, which means if you're afraid to ask, buddy, you're never going to get it.
Or a garter snake that's in like a college sex comedy. Except you're the co-eds and the garter snakes are the fraternity. and like here at Snake U, like we have to go spy on the podcaster to see if we can see them naked and then steal their bras.
You know, that probably happened to me because I had that garter snake that got into my house a couple times before I drove him across town.
Yeah, a little pervert.
Yeah. He was there.
Yeah.
He just, you know, he was the second time he was hanging out in the hallway right outside my bathroom.
he probably watched a lot of romantic comedies and thought that kind of behavior was acceptable.
Yeah, like
he thought he was being a Jim Halpert. But Jim Hepburn.
Jim Herbert? Yeah. Herpetologist?
Herbert? Yeah. There's something there.
Yeah, Jim Herbert. Yeah. We're off our rhythm. It's fine. It'll have to be okay.
But he was probably just trying to be persistent.
Yeah. Which, you know, points for him, but I hope that he finds, I hope that he found some snakes over there. People his own species, to bond with. I don't think I have very much to offer a snake. I don't know what garter snakes eat. Bugs, probably.
No. But bugs or grass.
Bugs.
I don't know. I do think it's a little bit naive to think that snake found a little community and wasn't just immediately eaten by something.
Well, I put him in
I don't think that he got welcomed into a village, dude. It's like the same thing that happens when people put spiders outside. Like, you're just giving them to birds to eat. That's an inside house spider. That's not a spider that lives outside.
No. There's a reason he came inside.
Yeah, like just immediately getting chomped down by something. Yeah.
I don't have a lot in common with this with a snake. It wouldn't have gone anywhere. It would have been bad for both of us, I think.
It would have been good for Greta. Greta would have enjoyed hunting that snake.
Yeah, she failed me the first time. Like she called attention to the snake. Well, that's how I found it in the vent. Was like she was just standing over by the vent and like looking down at it, and she had never been interested in that before. So I got up to see, like, hey, what are you looking at? And that's when I saw the snake just there. She wasn't doing it was just sitting on top of the vent flaps. She wasn't doing anything. She wasn't trying to get it. She didn't go into like attack mode. She was just like just tapping the grate with her paw. You know?
Yeah, she was curious.
She was curious. And when it got back in the second time, it must have been sitting there in the hallway for a long time. So neither Dottie nor Greta must have seen it. Or if they did see it, they're like, well, fuck. Okay, here we go. I didn't see them doing
the cat dropped.
A new cat dropped. Yeah. It's all tail.
You drove it across town.
Yeah.
How far did you have to give the snake a little ride?
I told you this. I put him in a little baggie with some air holes in it, which he promptly pissed in. Yeah, no. By across town, I live in an exceedingly small town. It was like a 4-minute drive to get over by the bike trail that goes up past the Olentangy River. Just on the other side of town. There's like a little bike trail parking lot by the Pizza Hut and across from the the Riverside Deli, which is a combination drive-through alcohol store, cold cut supplier, and gun shop.
Oh, yeah. a triplet of pleasures.
Yeah, you can roll through. You can get a half pound of roast beef, a six pack of Fat Tire, and a fucking shotgun.
And something to shoot it with.
Yep.
Can you shoot my roast beef into smaller bite-sized chunks, please? What made you think that area was good for snake?
There's lots of grass out there.
On like your yard?
Huh?
Why didn't you just throw it outside?
Oh, I tried to throw it outside. I threw it outside the first time. I found it twice, Gary.
I don't remember the story at all.
I swear we talked about it. Yeah, no.
I'm sure you have. This is making somebody super pissed, but yeah. I just forgot.
Greta found it, and then I used my reptile tongs, picked it up and threw it outside. And then a few days later, I saw it sitting in the hallway, and I was like, all right, you know how to get in. I have no idea that which way.
So romantic.
I have no... But it's not to be. Like, I can't have strange snakes coming in from outside. So that's when I picked him up and took him across town, figuring, okay, if he makes it this time, then I know it's meant to be.
It's the least Amelie thing you've ever done. Like, you could, that was the universe saying, hey, give the snake a look.
It's the least Amelie. Hey, am I somebody who's prone to Amelieisms?
No. And I also think that maybe the least Amelie thing would have been to like cut it in half with a pizza cutter or something.
Oh, it'd be to stomp on it. Right.
I can't
there.
Imagine. Yeah. I can't imagine Amelie doing that.
Oh, it was in a torpor. I totally could have just squishified it.
Yeah. And then she like looks at the camera and is like, there's that little smirk.
Yep. Like, French cinema.
Whimsical French music plays as she bisects a snake with a pair of kitchen shears. Like, damn anomaly.
Not again. Yeah. Oh, there's blood everywhere. You have no idea how much blood's in snakes.
I love killing snakes. And I love a baguette in the sunny feather.
So I have no idea. I've never seen Amelie. My only kind of like catalog card is that Justin from My Brother and Me sometimes does an Amelie, but it's just a very high voice. He voices her as though she's a very tiny little lady who just sneaks into things, and sometimes you find her. It's me, Amelie.
That's pretty true. That's a lot of the movie.
That sticks. Is it a good movie? Like, why does that have such why does that have such cachet? Why are we still referencing it?
I just remember I watched it. I don't remember the plot other than her finding photo booth pictures that people left behind.
Okay.
And then trying to find like the guy who runs the photo booth.
Okay. She knows they're mechanized, right? I don't remember
the plot of it. Say what?
She knows they're mechanized, right?
She doesn't know a lot. Amelie has huge homeschool vibes. I don't know what Amelie knows.
So here's the thing. I often get Amelie mixed up with Nell.
Oh, Nell is a very different homeschool vibe. Nell is homeschooled like Mowgli was homeschooled. Like,
so you're saying Amelie didn't have to invent her own language?
Yeah, I don't think Nell was like Helen Keller homeschooled, not like Amelie. Amelie was just whimsical to a fault. I mean, they're both, you know, you made a big oof. The statute of limitations, and I'm not trying to Dennis Miller it with Helen Keller jokes.
I'm not oofing. I'll confess, I was trying to. What I was doing was I was very quickly looking at the Wikipedia for Nell, just to make sure it wasn't based on a true story.
Is it?
I don't believe it is. It's based on the play Idioglossia. Let's see here. No, it's let's see here. It was inspired by the author's own life. In the 70s, he moved to an area in the Cascade Mountains. Oh yeah, there was not a feral girl and there.
Okay.
Woo. What I don't want is another. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say he's using inspired by his real. If there wasn't a feral girl when he went there. He's using inspired by his real life real loosely.
I think he just moved to the country and he felt real alienated, and so he decided to invent a girl about it.
Okay. Make up a girl to get famous about it.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Men would rather create Nell than go to therapy.
Fucking go down to the Grange Hall, dude. Stop it. Yeah. there's plenty of stuff to do out there, man. You're in the Cascades, for God's sake. What I didn't want to do is throw out Nell and then have somebody come back and say like, oh, you know, the Green Man's not a cryptid. He actually exists, dude.
Or yeah, like Nell is actually based on Nell Armstrong. The first wolf girl on the moon. J. Jonah Jameson's daughter.
There was a very early episode of this show where I joked about I made a joke about the movie Lorenzo's Oil, and I made that joke, and then like over the course of recording or shortly afterward, I just looked up that movie because it'd been forever since I'd seen it. Like, I'd probably only watched like half of it on VHS or something, and I saw it's actually based on a really tragic story about two parents trying very hard to deal with their kids' congenital disability. You know, it's their kid is in horrible pain, and I made an off-color joke about it. I was like, I don't feel great about that, so I went back and just tidied that up a little bit.
The main thing I know about that is the critic has a really mean joke about that, where like Duke gets sick and he's like that movie Lorenzo's Oil, and he's like, didn't you say that movie was a mixture of fantasy and crap? And Jay Sherman's like, yeah, Fanta crap. And now that makes Jay Sherman seem really insensitive.
Yeah, yeah, it's based on a real tragic story.
Stupid parents. Jay Sherman, the creators of The Critic, really got you.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's Galarian Ash.
That's Galarian's Ash.
Galarian's Ash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not, didn't see a lot of, let me see here. I did not see a lot of good GameFAQ stuff on this. Mm-hmm. There is someone who in her, in the introduction, this is by, something here. It's real like early 2000s chat speak, where people were trying to affect, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer kind of affectations, throwing in just like little role play aside kind of things. Anybody who's renting this didn't get the manual. Well, tough. A true Galarian's fan would buy. Strikes cheesy pose. Anyway, I'm rambling. Header number two. Ooh. I ramble a lot. Get used to it. Header number three. I'm female. I'm a big fan of manga, anime, doujinshi, particularly blah blah blah. Particularly shoujo and yaoi. So don't be surprised if I occasionally make comments about how this character or that is a hottie. Yeah.
Real Felicia Day.
Yeah, pulling some stuff up on there. It's just it is a kind of performance that absolutely comes from a particular place, particular time.
Yeah,
and you know, the that internet blows. Is a place. Yeah,
yeah, and a time.
Yeah,
That sounds obnoxious. I would love to be looking at it right now, but I can't.
Nope,
because I have no internet.
Comcast.
I have to choose talk or look.
It can't be both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesse. We appreciate it.
Jesse.
I'm happy to have a reminder that this is bad. Back after I streamed the first one, I picked up a copy of this because it was on Amazon for relatively cheap compared to how it is, how it is usually anyway. Mm-hmm. And I played it and I was like, oh, this is bad. And I put off streaming it. Now that I played it for this, I know I definitely won't. That wouldn't be fun for anybody.
Yeah, fuck it.
Fuck it.
Let the past, a corpse should be left well alone.
Yes.
If you're hearing this, we appreciate you for listening. If you want to hear bonus episodes of this and bonus shows in general and support the network, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You can also leave ratings reviews on Apple Podcast or Podcast Addict.
Yeah. You can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, like we said. Get bonus content, all of that good stuff. I think that's everything.
That is everything.
Yeah.
Thanks for everyone's patience while we'll pinch tit for a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm back, baby.
You're back. Well, hey, we're not out of the woods yet, man. You're kind of back.
Yeah. I'm closer to back than I was, but I'm not quite back. Yeah. I think the control episode seemed real fun.
Oh,
that was good.
Yeah. I had a good time there.
Yeah, that was before I took down my computer. So it was on the regular setup.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Oh.
What should they do until next time, Cole?
Until next time, just stick to the old setup. Just stay wherever you are. It's fine.